brimful with danger and adventure. Now, unless they had an extra-large slice of luck, he was going to die a squalid and pointless death in the middle of nowhere, butchered by a mongrel bunch of coyotes. And he hadn't said a proper goodbye to Christy. There was no way to go.
Sorry if this is the end, Dad.
Ryan's hand touched Dean's.
I'm sorry too, Dean. But we all have to go sometime.
At least we found each other. Could have been we both died and never knew each other. At least there's that, isn't there?
Hell, it's not over till it's over, son. We got ammo, we got knives. They want us. They're gonna pay a shit-high blood price.
Reckon I could go a bit farther.
Ryan stood and looked around.
There's sort of a rise over that way. It does look a bit like the ridge we crossed before we looked down on the Ballinger spread, where Jack lives.
Dean got to his feet, the movement provoking obvious interest in the pack of hunters. Ryan watched them.
Dean, go about 20 yards toward the hill, then stagger and fall down. Might bring them on, and I can pick off two or three more. Worth it. Must come a point where the bastards are going to give up.
Sure. Here I go.
Ryan felt a wave of pride at the 10-year-old's indomitable courage. Out on his feet, dried to a husk, the boy was ready to go out in the open and chance his survival on his father's shooting. Ryan dropped down again, lying prone, resting the barrel of the Steyr in the dirt. Dean walked southward, stumbling and falling once. The boy was so exhausted that Ryan couldn't be sure whether he was faking or not.
Go now, son.
Dean threw up his arms and crashed down in the sand, thrashing around for a half minute and then lying still. Ryan kept motionless, resting his cheek against the walnut stock of the rifle. There was no point in squinting through the scope until the coyotes made their move. It wasn't long coming. The pressure of the heat and the chase, combined with the slaughter of several of their pack, had brought the powerful dogs to a raging edge of foaming excitement. They began to move in a strange, circling motion, snapping at one another as though they were psyching themselves up for a charge. Between them and the boy was a pattern of deep draws, but Ryan had made sure there was plenty of flat ground near Dean to give him time and space for the shooting. A thought crossed Ryan's mind that Jack or Christina could have heard the sound of shooting if their homestead was fairly close. But the eternity of the desert easily swallowed up noise. The coyotes suddenly disappeared. Ryan stayed where he was, concentrating through the blinding heat, feeling a raw pain in his lost eye from the salt sweat. The pack could only be after the boy, and that meant they'd have to come out in the open before closing in for the kill. Dean lay utterly still, a light wind ruffling his hair. There was a hint of dust from one of the concealed arroyos to the right of the boy, showing where the dogs were moving. Ryan laid his index finger on the trigger of the rifle, took in a long, slow breath, and waited. The brutish muzzle of the first of the coyotes slid into sight, scenting the air.
Not yet. Come on, you bastards. Come on.
One by one they emerged, until 10 of them stood there, huddled in the pack, heads turning, as though they still suspected a trap. Then, as if by some unspoken command, they started to trot toward the recumbent figure lying less than 100 yards from them. One more breath taken in and held. Trying to keep as calm as if he were at a redoubt practice range, Ryan opened fire on the cluster of animals. Three clear kills and a fourth coyote down with its hind legs dragging. Dean was up as well, leveling his pistol in both hands. Ryan dropped the rifle and picked up the Sig Sauer, ready for a death or glory charge against the surviving animals, when his reflexes gave him a belated warning of danger.
Uh-oh.
The massive dog loomed over him, already in mid-spring, jaws gaping and saliva dangling in ropes from its questing teeth. Ryan had no time to do anything except try to roll away, punching at the animal with his blaster. There was no chance of a shot, and less opportunity of drawing his panga. The instant the powerful mutie creature struck him, Ryan knew he was in deep trouble. He was pinned on his back, scrabbling in loose dirt and stones, the P226 discarded. One hand was locked in the shaggy coat at the side of the coyote's neck, the other beneath the underslung lower jaw, fighting to keep the slavering fangs from his face. Rank, stinking breath festered in his nose and mouth, and the blood-mad eyes were inches from his own. coyote was heavier than he'd expected, weighing in around 120 pounds. Its hind legs kicked at Brian's groin, and it took a tremendous effort for him to roll to one side to protect himself. His right hand and arm were bent back, weakening his leverage, allowing the coyote to fight its way closer to him. Something struck the coyote. The animal jerked upward, head straining toward the sky. Its legs kicked. Then it went limp. As Ryan struggled to push its corpse off, he noticed the taped hilt of a throwing knife protruding just below the coyote's left ear. And he knew.
Just like the old days, Ryan. Always saving your ass.
Hi, Jack.
Dean finally fell asleep on the old sofa with a faded Navajo blanket on its back. Christina Lauren tucked a woolen blanket over the boy, smiling at Ryan and her husband as she rejoined them at the table.
Not much doubt about who the father is.
So they tell me. I'll put him to bed after we finish talking.
Jack poured himself another mug of black coffee from the blue enamel pot.
Yeah, not much more to say.
Jack hadn't changed much, but to Ryan's keen eye, the teenager seemed a few years older, more mature, more solid. His hair was still a flaring white, like a bright sun off snow in the Cascades, his eyes like molten rubies, and he still wore the huge satin-finished magnum on his hip. Christina seemed to have changed more. Her early life had been sheer misery, turned into a drudge by her crazed father and psychotic brothers. She'd been accustomed to being quiet and subservient, knowing the price she'd pay in bruises and kicks if she stepped out of line. Now she had blossomed. Then her hair had been a dull brown, tied back in a stringy knot. Her eyes had seemed a pallid and watery blue. Now she had shoulder-length hair, a luxuriant autumnal russet, and her eyes were a strong and steady blue. Christina was still disabled, halting with a built-up boot on her left foot, but it didn't drag her down. Now she swung around the house with an effortless grace and ease. Ryan remembered her as homely, which was the kindest word he'd have used back then. A long, raw-boned face made her seem older than her 20-odd years. Now he'd have to use the word beautiful to describe Jack Lauren's wife. Despite there being more than a dozen years between their ages, the difference had shrunk to virtually nothing. It was true what Jack had said. There really wasn't much more to say. After they'd driven off the handful of surviving coyotes, one of which had come within 5 yards of Dean Carter, Ryan and Jack had embraced, hugging each other with the unashamed delight of old and good friends. Then the boy had been introduced, but the rest of the news had been saved until after they'd gotten back to the spread. The farm had been in excellent shape. There were now more cattle, with a half dozen quarter horses and 30 pigs, a wired compound for chickens, and 100 sheep roaming around the spread.
Sheep the hottest. Some vanish. A local wandering tribe. I went and spoke to them. No more trouble.
Jack grinned, and Christina nodded approvingly. Ryan knew the young man well enough to wonder what form his speaking had taken. Jack Lauren was about the finest natural killer that Ryan had ever met, and not a person to cross. Dean had been disappointed that Jack had never met Sharona Carson. He was always desperate for someone who'd known his mother from the old days. The supper had been excellent, with some of the freshest food that Ryan had ever tasted. Jack and Christina shared the cooking chores, bringing dishes to the table until it almost groaned beneath the weight of the food.
It's not every day we get visitors, Ryan. Especially not someone who means as much to both of us as you do.
Over the chicken and creamed corn, the woman sat with her chin in her hands, listening, as Ryan, prompted occasionally by his son, explained the reason behind his journey.
You want him back with you? Is that what you came for?
If wanted me, I'd come.
Jack?
Have to. Blood debt runs deep.
Ryan shook his head, feeling the tension beginning to boil beneath the social surface.
No, that's not it, really. It's just to keep the boy safe. Shouldn't be more than 3 or 4 days, a week at the outside. Now that I got the code, we could visit you whenever we want. I didn't think the gateway would still work after that blowout.
Christina glanced across at Jack as she collected the plates.
There's... got apple and blueberry pie, with good cream. You got room, Dean?
Hell yeah!
Ryan flashed the boy a look. Dean immediately felt crimson come to his cheek.
Please, Christina. Thank you.
No problem, son.
The woman went into the kitchen,